Today on Real Radio.
Don't tell me you can see well if you have 20/20 vision. That means nothing to God. Can you see in darkness? Can you see when it's totally, totally black? The man is getting excited because in the mind, memory, he's Jewish, he's in Jericho. His mind begins to possibly remember his upbringing, the Hebrew scriptures. He hears about Jesus of Nazareth. Only a Jew would care about that. Hope begins to arise in his heart. He can't sit silent. He's got to say something. I love it. What happens? Look at verse 38. He has to shout.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're examining a part of chapter 18 that records some of what the Messiah did and said as he knowingly headed toward his conviction and execution. This included healing a blind man. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called, Are You Willing to Receive Your Sight?
You want to open your mouth so you can hear. The mind, open it up. The heart, listen to him. Open it up. Watch, look. Why? Because you'll have something to say. You'll open your mouth, yes? Because, listen, God wants you to hear something. And check this out. This is fun. Verse 35. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. Verse 37, I love this. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Little bit of background. This man would have done what beggars do. Remember, he's blind. He would have gotten up in the morning, as they do, make their way to the city gates where passers-by pass by. And he would have began his begging for the day. You with me? Normal day. It's a normal day for him. He's blind. He fumbles along the way. Some parts are familiar to him. Maybe something, you know, is different, but he makes his way to his place. Sets up his little camp. Have you ever seen beggars? Have you ever traveled to foreign countries? For foreign countries? go to L.A. And there's beggars. Hand out. Alms for the poor, they might say. This is normal for this man. But listen, it's Passover season. There's hundreds of thousands of people streaming into Jerusalem to the point that it will swell to nearly 3 million people. Coming in three different directions. There's a huge crowd going by. And so he makes an inquiry. What's going on? Normal question. People are pressing and pushing and in route. And somebody shouts back, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And I want you to think about that for a moment. First of all, the person answers and says, Jesus of Nazareth. Why? Why that? Oh, why? Because for 33 and a quarter years, Jesus was the Jesus of Nazareth. Because the Jesus of Nazareth was the Jesus regarding the scandal regarding Bethlehem. Remember when the Pharisees said, we know who your father is. That was another slam against who his dad was. They believed he had no father, earthly father, that Mary had gotten pregnant out of wedlock. By the way, in the beginning, you remember the Christmas story. Joseph thought the same thing at the beginning. He sought to divorce her. Engagement in the Middle East. If you're engaged and you're going to break it off, you have to go through divorcement because engagement is powerful that way. No, God shows him in a dream. Listen, Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That holy thing that is within her is the eternal Son of God. So all of the speculation, somebody shouts, it's Jesus of Nazareth. My question to you is, what did this man know about the Jesus of Nazareth? What did he know? Can you imagine? Oh my goodness, I've heard about this guy. Number one, his whole life has been a constant buzz of speculation. People have been talking about this guy forever. I can't believe he's passing through my town. And then on top of it, I've heard about his miracles. People have said, I've heard that he raises people from the dead. I even heard that he cleanses lepers by touching them. And when he speaks, I heard that he speaks with more authority than the Pharisees themselves. That's him. This is him. Listen, listen. Don't answer yet, but who's really blind here anyway? The disciples have eyeballs, but they can't see. The blind man is starting to form a vision in his mind. Have you ever talked to a blind person? Talking to a blind person is an awesome thing, I think. Because they'll talk to you if it's just a passing moment where there's no interaction. But if you do know them, I grew up on a street where we had a young guy who was my age and he was blind. And it's actually a very beautiful thing when they talk to you and they're friends. If they're friends, it touches your face. You ever seen that? They touch your face when you're talking. What are they doing? You know what they're doing. The very premise of how they and why they invented Braille language. You can see with your fingers. Are you with me?
Yes.
Don't tell me you can see well if you have 20/20 vision. That means nothing to God. Can you see in darkness? Can you see when it's totally, totally black? The man is getting excited because in the mind, memory, he's Jewish, he's in Jericho. His mind begins to possibly remember his upbringing, the Hebrew scriptures. He hears about Jesus of Nazareth, only a Jew would care about that. Hope begins to arise in his heart. He can't sit silent. He's got to say something. I love it. What happens? Look at verse 38, he has to shout. I mean, this is too fun. Open your mouth. Open your eyes so that you can shout. It says in verse 38, and he cried out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Can you mark that in your Bible? Circle the word cried out. Doesn't that sound nice? He cried out. Like, honey, can you bring me a glass of milk? I don't know why I'm talking about milk this morning, but that's not how he cried out. Can you bring me a napkin? That's not how he cried out. When this man cried out, it was with a wail. The word in Greek means he shouted. And he did something that was forbidden by Roman law. And technically forbidden by the scribes and Pharisees, because you are not to call anyone Son of David unless the Messiah showed up. Did you know that? This guy's he's breaking every rule you can break. He upsets Rome, or theoretically, he would have upset Rome and Caesar. And then he upsets the Jews. Why? You know what he's doing? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, as he cries out. You know what he's announcing? Every Jew knew it in the area. He's saying, this is the Messiah, the Savior, the King of Israel. He's the one that's going to deliver us. He's the one that's going to save us. This is the one. I can see him. And look at verse 39. The people turned to him, mark it, and they warned him that he should be quiet. That's putting it nicely. They turned around and they said, you better shut your mouth before some religious leaders hear this and before the Roman government hears that. You're going to get us all in trouble. Man, be quiet. Zip it. Now watch. A lesser person would say, I'm sorry, silly me, I had a thought that maybe he could do something about my blindness. But a person who's beginning to be stirred in the heart, that's a God thing. Let me ask you something. Is Jesus passing by you today? So what do you mean? I don't know. What's going on in your life? Why are you here? What's happening? last Wednesday night, I talked to an unbelievable amount of people. I couldn't believe it. If you missed last Wednesday night, you missed something special. God was moving here. It was bizarre. There were people, as we were having communion, getting on their knees and accepting Jesus Christ in the sanctuary. It was remarkable. And it was as though doors were being opened. And we didn't have anything to do with it. We were just watching this happen. Some people that I talked to after service, never ever been in a church before in their lives, stumbled into a communion service, which is predominantly reserved for the believer only, winds up saying, I want Jesus in my life. I had a man come to me and he said, Pastor Jack, I was a pretty wealthy guy, young guy too, pretty wealthy guy. I lost my job, lost my homes. He said, I had multiple homes in Chino Hills. I've lost them all. And in these last 3 months, I have found Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and I wouldn't change a thing. Amen. You guys, that is Jesus passing by. That's awesome. So what's going on in your life? Maybe God's beginning to stir the pot, as it were, in your life and shake things up. And so when this young, I don't know if he's young, if this blind man shouts out, have mercy, son of David. It's an amazing thing because the rabbis taught in the first century that the proclamation of the son of David is to welcome the Messiah, and they affectionately called the Messiah the second David. The rabbinical writings referred to the Messiah that would come as the second David or son of David, or simply in the context of the scriptures of his prophetic coming, David. This guy is shouting pure, accurate biblical theology. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Messiah of Israel, king, have mercy on me. In verses 40 to 43, it says, then look at this, it's beautiful. Jesus stood still. This is a pregnant statement. It means that there's an entourage and they're moving. It's a vast group of people, and it's like the Colorado River flowing. And imagine looking over the Colorado River and it stops. That'll get your attention. Jesus is walking, crowd gathered about, and all of a sudden, Jesus, son of David, have mercy. And when they told him to be quiet, by the way, it says that he shouted, look at your Bible, it says that he cried out all the more. I love this guy. Hey, be quiet. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. You better be quiet. Jesus, son of David. Hey, when you're desperate, what are you going to do? Desperate's a good thing. I think America is waking up a little tiny bit to the fact that America is truly desperate. That's a good thing. I heard a news reporter yesterday say, I think the greatest thing that we can do at a time like this is to strengthen our family. That was a news reporter giving a commentary. I mean, he wasn't supposed to, he just said it. That's amazing. So he's crying out. And verse 40 tells us that Jesus stands still. The word means Jesus stops dead in his track. Can you imagine some brakes slam on? Ah! See all these people. And Jesus commands the, bring him here to me. Bring him here. Listen to what Mark's gospel says. This is hilarious. Mark chapter 10, verse 49 and verse 50 says this, that the people who were saying, be quiet, keep your mouth shut. When Jesus said, bring the man to me, the same people turned around and said, be of good cheer, arise, he's calling for you. Bunch of hypocrites. Isn't that funny? Hey, shut your mouth, you big noisy guy. Just sit there in your darkness, you weirdo. We're going up to Jerusalem with Jesus. Bring that man to me. Hey, I got him right. I found him, Jesus. Here he is. How funny is that? Be of good cheer, man. He's calling for you. Cracks me up. And Jesus, verse 41, this is almost comical, but hear me out. I mean, I want to laugh, but you just have to be careful. Jesus says to him, look at it. What do you want me to do for you? Well, I'd like to get some new clothes. He doesn't say that. What do you want me to do for you? The guy is blind. Thank you for asking, Jesus. Let me think a minute. He's blind. You say, yeah, that is funny. What's Jesus doing? You guys, if you have a highlighter or a pen, or take it from somebody else and use this, circle this. Look at verse 41. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. There's a word in there that changes everything forever. Listen, Lord, you know what that means? Lord, that I might receive my sight. The word Lord means whatever you want to do. Lord, I recognize who you are. I can see you. I know who you are. You are Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David, God in the flesh. I know who you are. Man, I thought the guy was blind. When he says, Lord, everything else is secondary. How about you? Are you blind today? Lord, I need hope. Lord, I need help. What's brought you here today? If you're listening right now, what's brought you to tuning in to listen? Do you need hope? Do you need love? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need peace? What is it you need? It all begins with Lord, meaning, you know what? Now that I've met you, church, are you listening right now? Lord, now that I've met you, you can take care of my sight if you'd like to. That's your business. I'm just happy to meet you. Lord is whatever you want, Master. Oh yeah, if you want to touch my eyes, that's cool too. But I'm going to follow you because I just saw you. It clicked in my dark, dark mind. I saw you. You see, my friend, seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. And so Jesus calls him and he's talking to him face to face. Can you imagine? Put yourself in this guy's sandals. Jesus says, what do you want? And Jesus is going to say, open your eyes. You receive your sight. And the Bible says immediately, his eyes were opened. Pray tell, not much of a speculation here. Whose face do you think he saw first? Can you imagine that face? Who knows what that face looks like? He saw it. His eyes, imagine, look at the lights. It's dark and then the light begins to appear and he's seeing Jesus' face. And I wonder what he said. I wonder if he said what the guy told me last Sunday at church. Or, you know, I listened to you on the radio and I formed this view of you in my mind and then I came here. And you don't look like anything like I thought you. I mean, you look so different than what you sound like. I've had more people say, you know what? It's funny seeing your face. You sound like Kermit the Frog. I don't know if they want, you know, expect me to be green or what. But you know how you hear things and you form this view? Can you imagine that this man, he saw Jesus. Listen, he saw Jesus. After he saw him, for the truth of who he was, and then he could see him. That's you today. If you know Jesus based upon the truth of who he is, then you can really see him. You see, people see all kinds of Jesuses in the world, don't they? Isn't there a Mormon Jesus and a Jehovah's Witness Jesus and an Islamic Jesus and a Buddha Jesus and all kinds of Jesus, all kinds of different Jesuses? The Bible says there's all kinds of Jesuses. But you will never be able to recognize him until you see him in the truth. And then you see, and then you recognize, and you understand. And so, Jesus of Nazareth passes by, and all the people see, they watch, experience what takes place. And the scripture says that as the man received his sight, follow it, he received his sight. Next, he followed Jesus, glorifying God. How cool would that be to watch? And the people, when they saw it, they gave praise to God. How fun is that? Isn't that beautiful? How bad do you want to see? Today you're saying, man, you know what? I'm glad it's over. Let's go get breakfast. I could care less. Didn't understand a word you said. Then you can't see. That's why I quoted scripture. So it would unlock things. Nope, I don't get it. Let's go. You're blind. God says you're blind. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, by the way, that Satan, the god of this realm, has blinded the eyes of those who do not believe. They don't see it. They read the Bible and they go, what? How do you guys read this thing? And then when you do come to Christ, remember, did you ever try to read the Bible before you were a Christian? And you're like, what? And then you become a Christian and it's like, oh my goodness, this is so plain. Why? Because you first saw. Your mind was touched, your heart was touched, and then your mouth had to confess. Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Are You Willing to Receive Your Sight? It's a look at Luke's New Testament account, chapter 18 and verses 31 through 43, part of our teacher's verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, a reminder of what we're currently offering here on Real Radio, Pastor Jack's DVD series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners. Now, it's no secret that we live in quite the sexually charged age. Sexual immorality in its various forms is actually praised and celebrated. But what about the church? Certainly things must be different in the professing church, right? Well, these and other issues are dealt with in this DVD series from the scriptural worldview. In fact, here's Pastor Jack to tell us more about this series. Pastor Jack?
Well, thanks, Mike. And you know, what we're talking about in this little mini-series entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners is the fact that political correctness is nothing new. Well, we learn in this series that at the church at Corinth, they were allowing, that is the church leadership and the body of Christ at Corinth, they were allowing sexual immorality to be conducted among their members. They didn't rebuke it. They didn't deal with it. And they spun it, Mike, as tolerance, that they were a gracious church, that they were a loving church, that they were a very tolerant church. And what they had really fallen into, Paul points it out vividly, was, in a sense, political correctness. And in our little mini-series, Paul addresses how a church leadership should deal with this and how a church itself should keep itself from sexual immorality. And so for all these reasons and more, we want to make available to you what we're studying right here at church, and that is the book of Corinthians and this three-part series of Saints, Sex, and Sinners. How should leadership deal with sexual immorality among the saints? What does the Bible say regarding church discipline? And how should all of us walk in the fear of the Lord when it comes to how to conduct ourselves in the house of God? And so I encourage all of you to get a copy of this series, and I think it will strengthen your walk. It will certainly generate conversation. And Mike, you can tell the people how they can obtain their own copy.
Yes, indeed. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you the DVD series Saints, Sex, and Sinners. You can call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Radio. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.